Well, guys, we're going to go ahead and kind of transition to tonight. I'm excited. I'm going to open up tonight and share a few things with you, but then we're going to go into some group work, and then when you come back, you're going to have a different speaker that's going to be with you in a little bit that Jeremiah will introduce to you. But tonight's title, and you can go ahead and turn in your notes and your booklets to week 11, it's Living the Generous Christian Life. And we're going to talk about how many of you, let's say, went through Starting Point in the last year, maybe? A few of you guys. Okay, awesome. If you've gone in the last year or so, you know that in week 4, we talk about living a generous life. We touch on it just a little bit. We touch on it a little bit in Grow Track 1. And a lot of times people, when we say generous, what does your mind immediately go to? Money, right? And everybody gets funny when you talk about money, right? It's just, don't be talking about my money. Don't be talking about my bank account. Here we go. I'm in a church and they're already asking me for my money. And we try to very hard here not to be like that. And we're going to talk about money a little bit tonight. But really, guys, Mark Dunn, who's going to be speaking with you guys in a little bit, he's not going to touch on just money. We're not going to touch on just that. We're going to talk about living generously with your talents and your time and your testimony. God wants us to be generous in all of those things. And so, but again, it does talk about money. And so I want to kind of just start there a little bit because everybody, again, gets funny when you talk about money. But living the generous Christian life, you know, money, when it comes to tithing, when it comes to money, we're protective of our money, aren't we? And people, they get uncomfortable when you start to talk about it. But money is such an important topic in the Bible. I think people forget that it is the main subject. Did you guys know that? Of nearly half of the parables that Jesus told. I think we forget that money is like in half of them. In addition, one out of every 7 verses, okay? One out of every 7 verses in the New Testament deals with this topic, right? To give you an idea of how this compares with other topics, okay? For example, the scriptures offer 500 verses on prayer, right? Prayer is pretty important, right? Over 500 verses, okay? Then there's fewer than 500 on the topic of faith. Okay, so prayer and faith. While there are more than 2,000 verses on money. So it's talked about a lot. God talks about it a lot. Why do you think he talks about it so much?
Because he knows it's important.
It's important, right? And because we love it. And because we protect it. Because we worry about it too much. Because we think it's everything. You know, and so it's really a heart issue a lot of times with this, isn't it? I mean, money it's where your heart is, right? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also, the Bible talks about, right? And a lot of times that's wrapped up into money. And so, but the Bible talks about it a lot. You may be wondering what money has to do with your faith. And as we become followers of Jesus Christ, whether that's in the last year, whether that's been for years for you guys, he wants to be Lord. You guys remember me talking about that last week? Right, we talked about obedience and how that's not always the funnest word to hear to our kids, but to us either. And there's this idea that he wants to be Lord of our lives. In other words, he wants to be Lord over everything. We can't just ask the Lord to lead every aspect of our life, but not ask him to be the Lord over our money, right? Over our finances. It doesn't work that way, guys. And he wants to be Lord of it all. And we talked about that a little bit last week. And in other words, he wants to be in command of even our finances, our money. And that's hard for some people to kind of wrap their minds around. Of every aspect of it, that includes your finances. Martin Luther said this. He says there's 3 conversions that are necessary for people, for individuals, okay? The conversion of your heart, the conversion of your mind, and then the conversion of your purse, or in guy's case, our wallet, right? Right? Isn't that crazy? I mean, but it's so true. There's a conversion of our hearts, our minds, and then also our wallet, our money, our finances. When we experience this conversion of our money, of our purse, of our wallet, and give freely of our finances to God's work. In other words, to Timber Creek Church. Why? So we can do what God's called us to do. Again, I said it last week in the context of you serving, but I'll say it again in the context of tithing today. We don't want something from you. We really don't. Does it cost money to do certain things? Absolutely. But we don't want things from you. We want everything for you. And I'm telling you, there is so much blessing. The scriptures are full of it. You're going to hear about that tonight, of blessings that come when we surrender even this aspect, this part of our life to God as well. And when we give of our tithes, and we give above and beyond our tithes, and we live a generous life, not just with our talents, not just with our testimony in our hands, but even our finances, right? And so Feed One, Project Rescue, all these things are an opportunity for us when God leads us to give towards our tithe, but also even above and beyond our tithe. And we're going to make the best investment possible when we do that, an investment that has eternal dividends, okay? So with that in mind, let's remind ourselves a little bit of the origin and biblical teaching of tithe. I'm going to touch on that for just a little bit, and then we'll go into the group work, okay? Luke chapter 14, verse 33, it says, "None of you can be my disciple," this is Jesus speaking, "unless he gives up all his possessions." All his possessions, right? Now, are we saying tonight that all of you need to empty your bank account? No, that's not what I'm saying. But you see where Jesus is speaking to the young rich ruler, for example. I believe that as he's speaking to him, he knew his heart. And he knew that his heart was so wrapped up in his possessions and his money. And so he knew, this guy's really going to follow me, then he's got to be willing to give up those things to follow me. And what does he do? He walks away with his head down. Because he knows, we don't know what happens. We kind of make the assumption that he walked away and he couldn't do it. He couldn't give up those things to truly follow Jesus. And then you see other guys that we talked about last week, where the disciples, a lot of them gave up their livelihood. Matthew, a tax collector who nobody liked, but yet he had a lot of money. Yeah, you know, those guys had tons of money, and he left it all to follow Jesus, right? There's a blessing that comes with that. But tithing, this idea of tithing, it is biblical. In fact, it runs throughout all of scriptures. That's in your notes. It's biblical, right? We give you some scriptures there. But back in Leviticus and Numbers, you see the different examples. Back then, they didn't necessarily have the paper money, so to speak. A bank account like that, a lot of them, it was wrapped up in what? Their livestock, wrapped up in their crops and different things like that. And they were to tithe on that. That 10% of their livestock, 10% of their crops, and it's biblical all the way through. Malachi 3:10 talks a lot about give first that first 10% into the storehouse. So that speaks to the tithe of us giving it to the storehouse is your local church, right? It's giving that 10% back to God. And you know, guys, I'll say this, that a lot of times our attitude can be, well, okay, how much of my money do I need to give to God? And that, guys, really is the wrong attitude. It's the wrong heart. The heart should be, how much of God's money do I need to keep this paycheck or this month or this year or whatever it might be? That's the right motive. That's the right heart. Does God need our money? No, he doesn't. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need our money, but he does want our hearts. And so many times, money can be attached to our heart, right? And so that's why it's so important. And so you can read through those verses. A lot of people ask, is it still for today? And I don't want to get into that too much, but a lot of people think, well, that was just an Old Testament thing. Is it really a New Testament thing? But if you look, again, over 2,000 verses in the New Testament, I think it was pretty important. It was touched on quite a bit in different forms and fashions where Jesus would speak about it. The apostles the Apostle Paul spoke about it. You know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." What does that show us? Well, it shows us that he wasn't bound and boxed in by the laws of the Old Testament, but he wasn't there to destroy them and get rid of all of them, right? He still upheld some of them, right? And so he didn't let it guide his life as rules and regulations like the Pharisees. It's kind of like I said last week. It's like a picture frame, a metal picture frame. Jesus, he didn't climb up in that picture frame. Let's imagine that picture frame being the law, right? The law from the Old Testament. He didn't let it box him in. No, he stood up on top of it. He didn't let it box him in. He let it support him, right? And so you can read all throughout the New Testament that it still is for today. But I tell you what, I want all that God has for me. You know, why not give him, you know, that 10%, if not more at times, right? Because you can't outgive him. You really, really can't. just to speak from my own personal experience for just a second, you know, we have tithed since my wife and I got married. And there have been moments where I'm sure a lot of you can agree, there's moments it's hard. There's moments where you think, I don't know if I can do this. And I can honestly say that we've just kept on trusting him. Now, is my bank account full? No. I'm not in ministry to make money. So any of you feeling called to the ministry, I'm just telling you right now, it's not about money because you're not going to get paid lots of money. But God has blessed us in so many other ways. I think back to my son Landon getting injured a few years ago. He fell at school, fractured his skull, had bleeding on his brain, had to be life-flighted from Lufkin to Houston. He was 40 minutes away from dying, you know, because of this pressure on his brain. And the doctors were amazing, and he, you know, went through surgery, and he's fine today. Can I just say the bill was a little bit big on that? Have you ever flown to Lufkin to Houston in a helicopter? It's not cheap. You know, it's a lot of money. All I can say is that his bill total is a super, super nice house here in Lufkin for what that bill was. We don't owe a dime today. And if I could just tell you, no, my bank account's not full, but we serve a faithful God that knows I didn't make a lot of money and my insurance wasn't going to cover everything. But the way he worked that out over that year after is just blows my mind, and how faithful he was through other people that just gave, through, you know, different companies and stuff just saying, hey, we're going to scratch this. God just worked his way through it. And no, my bank account's never going to be busting at the seams, but he's faithful in every way. And I do feel that that is linked to me just staying faithful in what I have to always put him first in our finances. He helps us in those areas. That makes sense to you guys? Real quick here, number two, there's a difference between a tithe and an offering. That tithe is that 10%, right, that we give out of our, you know, when you get paid, you give that 10% back to the storehouse, back to the church. An offering is anything above and beyond that 10%. So let's say you tithe regularly to the church and you feel that God has led you to give towards Feed One, right? $10 a month where you can feed a child for a month for $10 through Feed One. Project Rescue, another initiative that we do here at the church. And of course, just missionaries and others. Let God stretch you in that. I remember the arguments I had with God. God, you know I don't make much money. I give my 10%. Why do you need me to support that joker that's going to Africa? You know, but God laid it on my heart. And it's amazing when you step out in faith and trust him even beyond that, how he just continues to take care of you, to bless you, right? So the tithe is the 10% gross net income, a tenth, right? A lot of people say, should I do gross or do net? Gross is the bigger, right? Right? I do gross. I mean, I think, why would you not want to do that, right? Like, why? Yeah, I mean, what'd you say? Fruits, first fruits, right? I mean, why would you not want to just do that, right? It's that first fruits, that first 10%. The offering, again, is over and above the tithe. It's a voluntary, a donation, a present, a gift. It might even be money. It might be something else. It might be God laying on your heart to go to Alto and deliver tons of supplies, and God laid out of your own pocket to go do that. That is still God moving on your heart to go do that. Does that make sense to you guys? So all these things are so, so important. Just remember this as I kind of close up this part. He owns it all, doesn't he? The Lord owns it all. Scriptures speak of that so much. Paul quotes it in 1 Corinthians 10:26. He's actually quoting Psalm 24:1, but he says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He owns it all. Guys, we're just managers. In other words, we're stewards of this life we have right now, and we're just stewards of the money as well and everything else that we can be generous with. Amen? All right, so what we're going to do right now is we've given you on your group work, everybody has this sheet at your table. We'd love for you to take, as a table, work together. Maybe somebody can read the scripture. We're going to turn some music on real lightly. But Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we give you guys an example, okay? So we want you to read that example and then answer the questions that go with it. And then Jeremiah will be back up here in a minute to kind of talk through that. Does that sound good to you guys? All right.
All right. I know we did not give you near enough time. Time. Put down your number two pencils. I said put down your number two pencils. I see we got some cheaters in here. Y'all are like bubbling in the light. Like, What was that on the Scantron that you would bubble in to like try to get to pass the test? ABA, was it ABACA or something like that? You'd be like, oh, if I do this in order, I'm going to pass the test no matter what. There's like some sort of like hidden Scantron code. Nobody cheated like I did. Oh, y'all are all lying. Every single one of y'all again. See, we're talking about tithing and now y'all are all being dishonest. Right off the bat, talking about money. Okay, I know that y'all did not have near enough time to unpack this. In this little bit of scripture, we know that there's a lot going on. And I think a lot of times you look at this and it's kind of like, why did God not really look favorably on Cain, you know? Because it seems like he did what he should. He came and brought something. So let's do some takeaways from what y'all read. So why was the one sacrifice accepted and the other was not?
Cain worked the soil, and in the course of time, he brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to God.
Sure.
Whereas Abel also brought an offering, but fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock.
Sure. So and so like anything in scripture, we can read something and to our minds because we maybe we didn't live back then, so we didn't understand the same cultural connotation of what it meant to give something like meat as opposed to vegetables. And some of y'all in here are like, I'd rather get vegetables than meat. And that's weird to me, but whatever. I would rather get only steak. Don't tell me you're a vegetarian. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there was one word in there. What was that one word that Sure, but there was one word as it... Boom. Some. So for me, it's so crazy because you can read scripture and then there's all these elaborate words in scripture and then we will skip over the one little tiny word that will actually unpack the whole meaning or really that high point of the passages that we're reading. And sometimes it is a very, very small word like some. He did some. And so it boils back down to what we were talking about a few sessions back. It's not about necessarily what you give because we have scriptural proof that a woman gave just the smallest amount of money that there was even out at that time, but that was looked on more favorably than this great wealth that somebody else would give. So it's not about the actual offering necessarily. It's about the position of your heart. Yeah. Sure. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a cool word or a cool way to look at it. Preparation. That's another word that we don't like. Like, oh, I was a chef by trade. That was my formal education. That's what I did for quite some time. And I will tell you the one thing in the culinary world that most people hate is prep. Nobody wants to be the guy that gets there at 3 a.m. and does all the prep work for somebody to kind of swoop in and like slap a steak on their grill and then like put it out and like, oh, compliments to the chef. Well, no, compliments to the prep cooks, because those are the people that have done their due diligence and labored and toiled to get ready to prepare a meal that seems like it just came out in, you know, 15 minutes. No, that meal took a long time. The preparation takes time, but that's how we condition our heart, is through preparation. And so it's important. That's such a good point right there. And so everything that we're doing in this, and Pastor Stephen kind of touched on it a little bit with the Pharisees and how they viewed the law as opposed to how Jesus viewed the law. And that's why he was always doing things that seemed to be against the law, like healing on the Sabbath. But really, it wasn't against the law because it was all about a heart position and it wasn't about ritual. It was about that relationship. And so that's how you can tell the difference between, am I doing something because I have to, because the Bible says I got to do it to be right. Well, don't even do it because your heart is wrong. The preparation was not there. It did not take place. So it's not about the ritual of doing something. It's about the relationship and the connection that you have that you just, you can't wait. You know the value in it. And so it's important. Yes. Yeah. Well, and not consistently, and that's another thing that we've and I seem to harp on that quite a bit in Grow Track too, but consistency, like an attitude of I have to do this is not an attitude of consistency. It will never be an attitude of consistency because you will eventually get so bitter in having to do something that you're going to stop doing it because it's not something that you want to do. That's the wrong attitude. There's no preparation in that, to use that word and kind of stick with that.
And the other side on that, to top off what you're saying, if you read 5, where it talks about he gets angry. So here's the deal. Cain comes in with the wrong heart, and he leaves it with the wrong heart.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It's the same thing with us. If we come into offering, tithing, whatever, with the wrong heart, we're gonna, when we come out on the other side of it, it doesn't matter the amount we give or whatever. Mm-hmm. We do it with the wrong intentionality.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we want to come into it with the wrong heart and we want to leave it with the wrong heart.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a cycle.
Yeah. So it's perception, you know, and I talk about it all the time, you know, God, we are literally working in a reverse economy. So the world teaches us one type of economy, and that economy and in anything, it's the more I take, the more I have. But that is not God's economy. God operates in a reverse economy. And if you become a child of God, then you, in turn, are operating in a reverse economy, whether you acknowledge it or not. So in my life, the more that I tried to take, and I've had some great opportunities in my life, and they've been very lucrative, but I was only focused on taking, and it seemed to be that I had nothing. The more that I would try to take, the less I would have, honestly. And so now in my life, I'm less focused on trying to take things and more focused on giving things. And it seems like I just have things. I mean, I'm so blessed, and I can't even express the types of things that have been given me. And it's not all monetary. It's family. It's health. It's just so many different things. It's not all monetary. And I think that we tend to focus on that a little bit too much as it pertains to tithing. But yeah, it's that reverse economy. And if you have a different perception about it, you're going to go into it in a different way. So that brings up my next question. And then we got to transition to teaching, and I can take up too much time. How can we ensure that we are honoring God with our finances consistently? And then what other areas? I'm going to put the last two together. First one, how can we ensure that we're doing this with the right heart? Nobody got to number two. I didn't give you all enough time. I'm so sorry.
We're saying do it first above all else. You know, just
sure.
Automatically do it first and do it with the right heart. You know, a happy heart. Don't be like, oh, I can't believe I'm having to get this money.
Sure.
It's his money to begin with. You know, you have to kind of change your way of thinking from, okay, this is my money, this is mine, mm-hmm. and it's not, it's his, and you're basically making it and just giving back what it's already his to begin with, so.
Well, and we talked about in our huddle, and I kind of prayed over everyone to be kingdom-minded. If we're kingdom-minded, then we know that everything that we do is to that end, and it's about enlarging God's kingdom, and that's what we're supposed to be doing as ministers of God. So if we're going at tithing with that mentality, so that money is actually being sowed into something, and who knows, it could be somebody coming to know the love of Christ that we even have been praying for. I mean, we don't know what our money is going to do and what that trail is going to bring about. And so if we view things in that way and we just give it and we let go of it, you know, a lot of this is about letting go. You know, it's not holding on to it and just, you know, begrudging. It's just letting go, and that's exactly right. So real quick, what are some other areas in our lives that we can tithe? I know this one's easy, huh? Y'all know y'all hear it all the time, the time, talent, treasure. Time, talent, and treasure, brother. Yeah, but it's the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that you supplement all of, like, well, I'm not going to give any money because I gave all of my time this week. Like, I don't think you need to bargain with God like that, okay? Don't get into that gray area where I'm like, well, I served for 40 hours this week. That's like a paycheck. That is legalistic, and then you are back to being a Pharisee, so don't do that. But anyway, yeah, there are so many other ways that we can give to God. Finances are important. What we're doing right now, this beautiful air conditioning that we're sitting in, it takes your money. It does. And I don't want to be sitting in a tent somewhere with no air conditioning. I mean, I don't want that. The lights take money. This microphone that y'all probably wish somebody else had right now, it takes money. So we need it. But there are so many other ways, and we need your time. We need your talents. Everybody has something that they can give. God gives something to each of us that he wants us to use to enlarge the kingdom. It's important. And I'll let Justin go, and then I have to pass it.
When we take our time, our personal time, and tithe to God, it talks about it.
Sure.
And that creates that relationship. When we do that, that entails, creates a kingdom thinking mentality in us. When we take and give our first of our time and our efforts to God on an independent, individual, one-on-one relationship with Christ,
yeah.
And it creates the heart in us to do all of this.
Sure. Well, and it's being okay with living a sacrificial life in every facet of our life, because that's what we need to do. And so that's the important part of this. And it doesn't mean that we're just, you know, cut open and bleeding everywhere. It's not that kind of thing, but it is living a sacrificial life and being okay with that, and being okay with if God instructs you to do something and it's, you know, it's a little obtrusive to your life, or it kind of redirects you from where you want to be. I'm fully convinced that Jesus's ministry was a series of interruptions. He actually was like on a straight line, and like he was trying to accomplish one thing for the most part, and it was teach and train his disciples. And like he just kept getting pulled by like John's disciples, like, well, if you said this, and so then he's like, well, okay, I'll go over to this house and heal this person, and I'll go over. But everything that he was doing was a series of interruptions, and he was just constantly sacrificial. That's how we have to be in our lives. With our money, with our talents, with our time, everything. But I've got to pass it on because I can't be up here too long. I'm going to pass it to a gentleman who is no stranger to this church. He has been in this church for quite some time. He has been a deacon. He has been on other leadership teams. His name is Mark Dunn. He's going to come up here, and he's going to talk to you about tithing, and he's going to unpack this a little bit further, probably say it much better than I can. If you would welcome him and give him your attention, please.
Hey guys, how are y'all doing tonight? I was speaking at a middle school the other day. I teach a junior economics or junior achievement class, and the teacher had me over in a corner, just standing there minding my own business. And she was going through the lesson plan and said, "Okay, Mark Dunn's going to come up here. These are little seventh graders." So I step up and say just that, "Hey, how's everybody doing?" This one little kid just jumps and said, "What is it? I didn't expect your voice to be so deep." So I do startle some. So I want to go back to that first slide that Stephen was talking on, because I'm a words and picture guy. I'm that simple. I don't read long. I have to study and think about things. But we talked about 10%. So I start thinking about 10%. Deci. Anybody know the metric system? There's decimeter, deciliter, deci everything. Means literally one-tenth. So that's not hard to figure out. Started occurring to me in the Bible, what were the guys that followed Jesus around? There we go. Disciples, deci. So my simple little mind starts thinking about that. As disciples, if we're truly going to be disciples, and that's what we call ourselves, Christ followers, then we're going to be required to give of ourselves, not just money. So I'd ask you tonight, take your focus off money. This isn't about money. If we talked about the Old Testament, we were talking about Cain and Abel. They were giving of their cattle and their sheep and their crops. It had little to do with money. They didn't have a form of money. That was what they made. That's what they traded in. So in my mind, we're giving of our time. I want to make a first strong point because I've heard argument over the years, oh, is it net or is it gross? Folks, it's real simple to me. If we're being disciples, God's not asking you to give up your time after you've spent it at work, with the kids, cleaning up the yard, the house, whatever, all your leftover time or your net. He's asking the gross of your life. Give your first fruits, not after you're wrung out, tired, and okay, God, I've got a couple of minutes before I go to bed. I'll read a scripture and feel good about my life. So if you're truly a Christ follower, if that's what you've decided in your heart, then give of yourself what he's asked of you. And so we're going to talk about giving. Has little to do with money. That's a portion of our lives. Agreed? And I'm a feedback kind of person. So nod your heads, hallelujah, whatever. We'll get through this. So I grew up in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And one of the movies that came to mind today was Clint Eastwood. You guys all remember him? High Plains Drifter, you know, all that stuff. And Fistful of Dollars came to mind. You know, all these cowboys, and it was all about the money, and man, if they could hold on to it. So brought me to a story, and again, we're going to talk about money a little bit. So this is 10 bucks here. So Trent, if I came over here and said, man, this is yours, there's 10 bucks. You've worked hard today. I mean, man, you dug a ditch, whatever, you earned a buck an hour. It took you 10 hours. Trent's a little slow. If I came back and said, Trent, man, you did a great job, but man, I'm a little hungry too. Could I take a buck of that? Would that be okay? He gave that pretty easy. So now I've got that. He's still got 9 bucks, right? Trent keeps working for me in my construction company. Man, he does a great job. He's moving up in things. And now it comes payday. Trent, here's a little more. I've got $1,000 bills. You've done a great job. Boy, you dug a ditch. You led the guys. You took care of supplies this week. It's okay if I have 100 of that back? Fred's a good guy. He's learned a lesson real quick that I've paid him well. But would you have a problem with that, at 100 bucks, giving it back? I'm going to take this real quick because this is my wife's, not mine. There was a story going through, pastor in Houston had a homeless guy going to his church. He was down and out. I mean, he had nothing. And the pastor started helping him, got him a job. First $100 he made, he couldn't wait to come in and give $10 back in the offering plate. I mean, ran down front to drop it in the bucket. So he was kind of like the widow giving the mite. He continued to work hard, kind of like the story with Trent here. Dug a ditch, made a little more. Moved up in the company, and it continued. Every Sunday, the guy would run down to drop his dollar, his $10, his $100 in the plate. This continued. I mean, the guy became something. I mean, he was driving Mercedes and wearing suits. But after a while, the pastor noticed he wasn't seeing this guy around anymore. He wasn't noticing his check, which was significant. I mean, it paid the light bills, built new buildings. Time goes by. The pastor meets him, says, what happened? I mean, man, you're looking good. Driving a new car again, I see. He said, you know, you helped me, and I got to that first dollar to give. Easy. I was happy. I had something to eat. I had clothes on my back. Continued on. It was easy to give that 10 bucks, that 100 bucks. I made my first million in profit. Net back to me. I couldn't make my hand write that check. Writing $100,000 to a church. I just couldn't, because all of a sudden he had his fist full of money, and it was his. It wasn't God's. So what I'm telling you tonight, and I'm not necessarily following along, I'm going to get back on script here. This is a mindset that we've got to get over. It's a heart issue, but we've got to get through our head to our heart. Agreed? So running on down here. 8 biblical reasons for tithing. Obedience. I used to train for triathlons and events, things like that. And I understand obedience. If you don't work at something, you don't gain the perseverance, you don't gain the mindset, you don't gain the muscular memory, that sort of thing. So obedience, God's just asking us to be obedience. We've all agreed already, it's all His, correct? So the way I teach my kids, the way I teach anybody that works with me, when you give, if you're given that first salary, rather than doing this, if you'll just do this and let that money sit in the palm of your hand and say, God, it's all yours. You take what you want, you leave me with what you want. And get over the mindset of even the 10%. Things are a lot easier. God can put more into your hand. It's real hard for Him to put anything in this. You can hold everything you want, but it won't be blessed. Does that make sense? God says obedience is better than sacrifice. We could sit here and moan and groan all night about what we're giving up, how hard it is, but when you do it cheerfully, like Stephen talked about, I think that's a great way to be. A lot of these scriptures, down in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. How many of you grow crops? Anybody? One. Biscuit back here grows crops. So maybe he's going to bring a bushel full of corn or something next Sunday. No? So, again, this is, we can get real hung up on Old Testament versus New Testament. Well, they're talking about crops, money, and all this. All he's talking about is stuff. I want to center back on what we've talked about, time, talent, treasure, and we've added in that one more testimony. Again, I'm a word guy, money at the end, testimony. You can give your time, your talent, your treasure, and even your story of what God's done for you, and it'll bless the socks off people. I could spend all night here telling you about things. I was fortunate enough to get to build everything you're setting in tonight. I'm building in Nacogdoches. The one quick story on that is I was involved in an accident when all of this was going on. We were right in the middle of the kids' center. It was to open September 24th, I believe, of that year. Mother's Day of that year, I was out training. I was on my bicycle. Kissed my wife that morning, said, honey, I'll be back in a few minutes, well, about an hour and a half. We'll go to Mother's Day service. I was out on Animal Farm Road out by Love's Truck Stop. That lady hit me 70 miles an hour from behind on my bicycle. Launched me from about here to the loop through the air. They scraped me up off the pavement. Stephen talking about life flight. That was me going to Tyler. I was a mess. They called my wife, said, hurry, he's still breathing. Now, I had a couple of $1 million worth of work going on here between the kids' center, the sanctuary, all of this. 7 days later, I hobbled back on site on a walker and continued on. I didn't miss a lick. That wasn't Mark Dunn. That was God having me in the palm of His hand, being faithful to give back to me my very life, which was worth far more than anything that'll ever pass through my bank account. So when it's money that you're worried about, pass that out of your head. My kids, both saved, both working, great relationship with their parents, business does well, have a home that's paid for, so when you stop and just consider the financial aspect of it, you're stopping short because there's a lot more involved here than that. So we talk about in number three there, tithing makes you eligible for God's blessing. My life was a blessing. It had nothing to do with my crops, my time, or talent, but I was faithful to give back to God, and I credit Him for me being breathing here tonight. Number four, tithing guards Christians from materialism. So again, we're focused on money, 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 money. Jesus talked about money. We get wrapped up in the stuff, but I'm going to tell you, when you start giving your stuff back to God, we've talked about all the things. I love stuff. Man, I like cars. I've rebuilt cars. I've had hot rods, all that stuff. My one true love in life has been aviation. And I've wanted to fly since I was a kid. I've been blessed. I'm a pilot. I have an aircraft. And I could hold on to that thing and talk about it all day. But God impressed me on that. And He said, why are you holding on to that? What are you doing with it? It's stuff. Out of the blue, I've watched a poster out at the airport for 2 years. that had a little kid with one of the little helmets you see to protect them because of some brain injury. And he said, "We're looking for pilots." I called the guy up after looking at that poster for 2 years. He's become one of my best friends in life. It's a program called Pilots for Patients. And what I'm doing with my time, my talent, and my treasure now is I fly to Monroe, Louisiana. I pick up cancer patients and carry them to Houston. Guess what? They're captive with me for about an hour and a half. And I get to talk their ears off and listen to their stories and ask them, where are you at in life? Can I pray with you? Do you need help in any other aspect? Man, I can put you in contact with people. It's been more of a blessing to me just sitting there with those people. Has little to do with money. Are we on point with each other here? Understand, make a... So your stuff can make a difference in people's life. Your story can make a difference in their lives. Man, I could go on about that all night, the way I've been affected by others and hopefully being an effect in their life. So I would encourage you to do the same in that. Said God wants us to trust Him and in Him alone for all of our needs. This doesn't mean money has no worth. We agree? If you came into the banker tonight with a bushel full of corn, do you think he'd take that as your note? What does he want? M-O-N-E-Y, right? He is happy to take your dollars back plus interest. So money does have worth, but God's trusted us with that. Number five, He loves a cheerful giver. Have you ever seen anybody or heard anybody talk about giving back and they weren't cheerful? Who's been in your life but that way? Was it you, the loved one? I can tell you, Sean and I, years ago, were affected by a group. They were doing missionary work. And they came and talked to us about giving to their organization. And they're sending kids across the world. We're talking about 14 to 17-year-old kids. And we sat alone. God affected Sean and I this way across the years that He would always give us the same amount if we sat and just prayed alone and came back. So what are you feeling? Same number. That night, the number He gave us was the world to us. Didn't think we could afford that, but wrote a check for a significant amount to this group. And we were doing okay in life, living in Houston, down in the Woodlands, working for good companies. 2 months later, my president of the company comes in from Baton Rouge, says, "Hey, I need to meet with you." Okay. He flies in, sits at my desk, said, "I've got good news and bad news." "Great, what is it?" "Good news is we just sold the company and made a ton of money." I said, "Great." He had all promised us that we were going to have better positions with the new company. "What's the bad news?" "You need to pack your bags, turn in your keys, give me your car, you're done." Really? I went home with a smile on my face. I had peace in my heart for some reason, can't explain it. And when I got home, we got a call that same day from this organization and said, "Would you be willing to go on a 1 month mission trip with our company?" I said, "Really? Okay." It could have meant India, Pakistan, anywhere in the world. And they asked us to fill out on the form, "Where would you like to go?" I said, "Really? Australia?" "Yeah, everybody asked for that. We'll go anywhere you want." Again, holding our hands out. "God, you put in what you want, you take what you want." We got a call a week later, said, "Congratulations, we've got you selected." "Where are we going?" "Australia." We had always wanted to go there. Went there, took 123 kids to Australia, and was a phenomenal impact on our life. And it was on the plane ride home from there that God spoke to me and said, "You're to take your family and move to Lufkin, Texas." Now, I can't tell you the look on my wife's face. This was my home. This is where I grew up. And she's just like, "Where? Why? Don't people have snuff dripping out of their mouth?" Going up? I said, "Well, the level-headed ones have it dripping off both sides of their mouth." So it has been a God thing that we're here. And it was all for being faithful and listening to Him, giving when He asked of us. He's met our needs every single time. So I'm wiggling my way through this, and I hope you bear with me on that. It's just God in this whole tithing and offering thing has had a serious effect on my life. He's dealt with us in the financial realm in so many ways, to the point that when we were living in the Woodlands, coming up on this time that the company was going to sell, he woke me up in the middle of the night one night and said, pay off everything. I said, that can't be God, because he would know what I have in the bank. He kept dealing me with on this. And I said, God, if this is you, if you'll take me out to the age 65, and if I paid off everything today, if I can find that kind of scratch, and I stuck with my company and gave to the 401k and all this, and it comes within 5%, and I'm bargaining with God, I'll know it's you. I ran my spreadsheets, did all the work, didn't come close. He woke me up one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. Done, you made a mistake. God, that's incredibly wrong. I mean, Excel doesn't make mistakes. I mean, I have a Macintosh computer. Do you know what those things do? I sat down at 4:05, started going through my spreadsheet, and found one lone mistake that when I punched the button, everything came within 5%. That's you, God. So we scraped around, scratched, and paid off every living thing we had. I called up my 401k company and said, folks, I want y'all to write this amount to this mortgage company. And they said, Mr. Dunn, we don't often say this, but you're an idiot. Maybe I am, but God's not. And they said, who? They wrote the check. It was 2 months later, after doing that, that my boss walked into the company and said, you're done. The relief that it was on me that night, having gone through the office being shut down, and God saw that far down the road that we were taken care of, was a huge relief. So I'm saying all that God knows you, he knows your situation, and when you're trying to squeeze that last nickel out of your bank account that you think you're sacrificing, but you're being obedient, he loves the obedience far more than the money. As Stephen said, he doesn't need that. So when we talk about in number 6 that he ensures that your needs will be met, the words I wrote down there is focus on God, and he'll focus on you. He does anyway, but he's just proving his point. You know, and that's the one area that he talks about, test me. Do you find anywhere else in the Word that God says, test me? But he's talking about this, and so you can't outdo him. You can't outgive him. You can't outlove him. Is all this making sense? So he talks about tithing helps meet the needs of God's people in our local church. Jeremiah talked about, you know, the lights being on tonight, this microphone, the tables that you're sitting at, the carpet under your feet. Does God need that? Does he really need it even to get the word out? No. But to Jeremiah's point, how many people would show up on this campus if we set up a brush arbor like they did back in the early 20th century with no air conditioning, no porta potty? I don't think we'd get many folks in the door. What money does for the church is, I love the statement that Jeremy's made, is it creates an open door, a wider front door to our home. You know, we've gone through efforts of renaming the church from Lufkin First Assembly to Timber Creek. We've put on a spread here, and you've noticed the increase in people coming in our doors. We're doing the same thing in Nacogdoches. I think it's incredible what we're doing in this community. So when we go back to our time, talent, treasures, and testimony, the word that's going about in our community is impactful to me. It reminds me every day how good God is in seeing the number of people coming here. I've stated many times when we walk through the front door, who are all these people and what are they doing in my church? I don't recognize them because there's so many new ones coming in the front door every time. Demo number 8. Tithing reminds us that God is true. The note down there says, always remember, it is the Lord who gives us the ability to work, to produce wealth, to provide for our families. How many times have you gone through a line? I mean, I'm always talking to the cashier, the checker. Hey, how are you doing today? Oh, pretty good. I had to come in to work early today. You mean you got to come in to work early? No, I had to. My boss called me in early, 2 hours early. And I'll sit there, and that opens up a door for me to have a conversation. Said, you know, your boss let you come in 2 hours early. He let you have this job today. He started looking at me kind of sideways. Said, he could have called anybody, but he entrusted 2 extra hours to you. If you'll think about that, that's 2 extra hours of pay in your pocket, right? They start looking at me and having a conversation. As long as there's not a line backed up, it's God that's giving you the very job that you have, who's giving you the talent of whatever it is, whether you're a ditch digger like Trent here, or whether you're the bank president. It's a talent. It's a pleasure. Every time you walk out the door, if you'll take on again that mindset and get it down into your heart, be cheerful about that. On over to the next page. Guidelines for extravagant generosity. This is the fun part for me, because the tithe, some people, they have to work at that 10%, really, that much, where the offering is over and beyond. It talks about extravagant giving. I looked up the definition for extravagant. Lacking restraint in spending money. So even that word, the definition had money in it. Or using resources. Exceeding what is responsible or appropriate. What's absurd? So if your neighbor saw the check that you wrote for the programs that are going on, or why are you feeding a kid in some godforsaken country where they have voodoo? Because I'm going to change a life down there. I may not ever hear the story that comes back. That's absurd to most people, but God has a plan in all of that. I want to run on down towards the end of this. He talks about God loves, or love what God loves, and who God loves, the lost, his people, his bride. The story here, I mean, it's special to me when he talks about his bride, because I look around at so many of the guys. In fact, on my job sites, I've heard over the years so many people, my old lady this, my old lady that, and that is a pet peeve for me. I'll pull them to the side and say, number one, I don't care if you're talking about your bride, your mother, or your grandmother. Nobody on my job site is an old lady. It can be your sweetie, your honey, your significant other. We're not going to use that kind of term, because to me, if God used the term bride when he talked about his church, and that's the same term we use for our spouse, why wouldn't we hold that just as dear? And to that point, I mean, that's reminded me on a daily basis. You may have seen my wife. I don't know what I did right in life to get her. I don't know what she did wrong in life to get me. But I am blessed. Our kids are out of the house, and we're on now our 6th year of a second honeymoon. I chase her to this day. I think that's how God looks after his bride. And so it's important, if the church is his bride, that we look after his church in the same fashion. Again, with your money, your time, your talent, your treasure. The one last analogy I want to leave with you is a story that God gave me. Again, I'm a picture person, a word person. He asked me one day, Mark, you want to be a pot or a pipe? I said, God, what in the world are you talking about? Do I want to be a pot or a pipe? Well, he lets me kind of ruminate and stew a little bit and think about these things as I go on. And finally, he says, what is a pot? Well, I said, it's a vessel. It holds something. Okay, what does it hold? Well, a liquid, a solid, whatever. How much does it hold? Well, a known quantity. I mean, if it's a 2-quart pot, it holds 2 quarts, right? He said, what is a pipe? I don't know. It's round. It's electrical. It has stuff flowing through it. He said, no, it's a pot with the bottom knocked out. If you're a pot, I can give you a set amount. Now let's talk money. I can give you $100,000, and that's all you can hold. Whether it's your bank account in your hands, that fistful of dollars. If I knock the bottom out of that pot, Mark Dunn, you're going to be a pipe. And I can flow as much through you as I need to. And some of the residual is going to stick to the sides of that pot, right? And so I decided a long time ago, God, knock the bottom out of me. Let me be a pipe. I don't want to hold an amount. And so whether you want to leave me with $10 or $1 million, I've got my hands open. You put in them what you want to put in them. You take out of them what you want to take out of them. You'll be a blessing to those around you. You'll be a blessing to your family, to your church, and your community. So God bless you. If you don't mind, I'm going to pray over you. And just pray God's blessings on you. God, we've talked jokingly about don't mess with our money. My prayer tonight is to erase that thought, take the dollar signs, the bling out of our eyes, out of our heart, out of our mind. God, have us chase after you the way we chase after lustful things in this life, whether it's things, the money, some vision that we have in our head. And I would pray that you bless this group phenomenally, beyond their wildest dreams, their desires, in the way that you would have them blessed, whether it is talent, time, treasure, their testimony. Let them be a blessing to those around them. Let it look absurd, ridiculous on the outside, but let people see the result of you working in their lives. Thank you for loving us. Let us love you the way that you love us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, yeah.
Okay. I will dig at this.
I'll take it. I need pens at work. Hey, you can try, right? I mean, I will say, though, if you need a co-pilot ever, I love to fly as well. I don't know how. Don't give me the controls, but if you can teach me, I will fly with you. Okay, done. You heard it here. Okay, well, that was a great message. Thank you, Mark. That was so good. And just, man, I'm going to tell you, that gives me something to strive towards because I'm sitting back there and I can think that I'm generous and I can think that I have that attitude of submission and sacrifice. And then I hear a story like that. I'm like, whoa, I probably would not have called the 401k. You know, I don't know that I would have had that trust. I don't know if I have it now. And so it's something to reflect on and just unbelievable, unbelievable word. Okay. Well, I know y'all are sad. This is it. This is the last bit. Y'all don't have to listen to me ever again unless you want to hang out and stay and grow track two again, or unless you didn't come enough times and then you're going to have to come and hang out with me. And we have a list. And if you're under the blue, then you're going to come back and see me anyway, or you don't have to either way. But I hope you do. Well, hey, we're going to give some announcements, and one thing we're going to do, and I already see some people at our tables doing it so diligently, and they're going to give me all good marks. Hey, do you have one of these things here, like a survey? Let me see this. Let me borrow one of these real quick. Okay. One thing that we would like you to take the time to do right now is to do this next steps survey. I know everybody loves surveys. Everybody loves going through here and marking all the things that they've done and the groups that they're currently attending and all of this stuff. But I would ask that you would fill this out, please. Do it to your best knowledge. We're going to take about 15 seconds because that's all that we have left. You got 15 seconds to do this. No, we're going to I ask that you stay just a little bit after. Fill this out as much as you can, please, and give it back to your table hosts. But I do want to encourage you while y'all are doing this, and hopefully y'all can listen to me and write at the same time. Maybe not, because my voice might be annoying and you won't be able to understand what you're doing. But I want to encourage you. We are about to enter into a time of rest, as I call it. The summer, I get to rest. We get to kind of chill out a little bit. We know that during the spring and fall, there's a lot of stuff going on. Everybody's incredibly busy. We're about to enter a time when there's no grow tracks. There's no, well, there might be a little bit of other things within the church that we're doing, but for the most part, there's no Wednesday night services. So it's going to be a good time for you to get plugged in. If you are not serving anywhere, please, like Pastor Stephen said last week, we encourage you, if you plan on moving on to Grow Track 3, please get involved on a serve team or a dream team somewhere. The Kids Works, for Kimberly, I'm going to push Kids Works. Kids Works needs people. Please, I know, I already knew what you're, I was trying to like not look, but then I know like my own rule, if I try to hide, then you know I get called on, so I have to abide by my own rules. So yes, Kids Works needs people, but we need people everywhere. I used to run one of the usher teams. Ushers need guys and girls. We're equal opportunity. We want men and women. Ushers need help. Greeters, everywhere on this campus, there's a need. There is a hole. There is a vacuum. As Mark said, and I love what Pastor Jeremy says, we want to widen these doors. We want to make room for more people, and we've done that. But in doing that, what does that do? That creates more need for service, more positions open, more need around this campus. So if you're not serving, please, please consider serving somewhere. And this summer is a good time to kind of dip your toe in that. You're going to have a little free time. You have no excuse not to get involved. Yes, ma'am. No, it's cool. Yeah. Sure. Yes, we do have the serve one. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, and you bring up a good point. I mean, and if everybody in this whole church were serving somewhere, you would only serve like once a year. Yeah. I mean, maybe not that, but close to it. Yeah. Oh, no. We need to get up to at least 20. That's what most churches are, about 20% of the total membership serves. So 7%, that is a terrible number. We need to get better. And I know most of y'all in here are serving, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But that being said, get on two teams now. I'm kidding. Don't do that. I'm kidding. We're actually heading away from that, too. We don't want to stretch you too thin. But, yeah, talk to people, build them up, and get them on a team. And you bring up a good point. If you're hesitant or nervous and, you know, you just kind of want to test the waters a little bit, don't be afraid to just step in one or two services and just shadow somebody or do something. It's not a blood covenant. You're not signing on the dotted line and like, well, if I go once, I have to continue and I hate kids, but I'm going to do it anyway. No. We don't want that. But we do want you to get plugged in. So anyway, I'll end that. Next week is the Grow Track celebration. We love our food here. We know because the last thing that we did here that was potluck, like there was more food than I've seen that. It was just crazy. There was food. Robbie ate like a whole cheesecake by himself. I saw it. never mind. He didn't eat it. He ate kale. He only ate kale, actually. I saw him. It was all organic, keto-friendly kale. He ate cheesecake. But anyway, it's potluck, guys. Bring something. Don't bring 50 renditions of chicken spaghetti. That's my public service announcement, too, by the way. If you've ever worked at a church, you know what I'm talking about. Here, try my chicken spaghetti. No, please. But it's potluck. Just come. We're going to have a good time. It's just going to be a celebration. It's not going to be anything that we're going to, you know, ask you to do some more. We're not calling it homework, but more things like that that you have to do at home by yourself that's not homework. It's just going to be a fun time of celebration. We're going to kick that off, and then we're going to go into summer, and we're going to have a great summer. So I encourage y'all to be there. Take that next step survey, please. And then May 1st is starting marriage month. If you are married, want to be married, were married, want to stay married, whatever. It's marriage month, so get ready, put your big boy clothes on, because we talk about some things that kind of get a little bit, you know. Yes, Pastor Jeremy will go into it, and it's going to be awesome. I love marriage month because it shows me just how bad I'm doing as a husband. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't. No, it's just good. It's a good time, and it's for everybody. I know we say something like marriage month, and you're like, I'm not even married. I'm not coming in May. Don't do that. Please come. Okay, guys, that's it. Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all for everything that y'all have done over the past 11 weeks. All right.